Hallelujah. You ready for some word? Because we're going to wade into the word. That's what we do, right? Reason through the scriptures, right? Because it's all about the word. It's all about the word of God. The power of the word of God, right? We're going to be in John chapter 5. We're going to be continuing on where we left off last week. And we're going to cover from verse 16 all the way to verse 47. All right? You know why? Because we're going to read every verse, line by line, precept upon precept, because it's the Word of God. Amen. And the words that we read, not the words that I say, but the words that I read that come out of the Bible, those are the ones that go out with power. You get that, right? Those are the ones that have the power to transform. Huh? How much red? 98% red? 98% red. The title this morning is Jesus Defends His Actions. And I know what you're thinking. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, hold on. You'll figure it out. And the fivefold testimony of who Jesus is. All right? Here's the important thing. Remember last week, Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. You remember that, right? He was invalid. He had been an invalid for how long? 38 years, right? And Jesus comes to him and he looks at him and he says, "Do you want to get well?" And the man starts going into all these excuses as to why he can't. And in the middle of those excuses, Jesus says, "Get up. Pick up your mat and walk." And the Bible says at that moment, he was cured, right? All right, so the Bible also told us that Jesus, after he did that, slipped into the crowd. And the guy didn't know who he was. But then some Jewish leaders, I want you to think about that. Some Jewish leaders, some Pharisees, Sadducees, Sanhedrin members, scribes, whatever you want to call them. They were the Jewish leaders. Yes, and here they are. They see this man carrying his mat. They say, "You can't carry your mat on the Sabbath." I want you to know something about these legalistic Pharisees. They were very legalistic. It was not against the law to carry your mat. Amen? But they had taken things so far and thought themselves so pure and so perfect that no matter what the people did, it wasn't good enough. But here's what I want you to see about a Pharisee. Here's this man like that they walked by every day and knew that he had been an invalid probably for all of his life. And here he is walking, carrying his mat. And that's not the first thing they point to. Wow. Not, "Hey, look at you, man. You're walking." No. "You can't carry your mat." Said this in Bible study, the Pharisees are still out there. Those are the ones that say in order to be in the body of Christ, you have to be baptized. Come on. You can't join this church unless you do this or unless you do that. Hear me. As soon as you got saved, you were in the body of Christ. Amen. And that's the only membership you need. Come on. Huh? There are actually churches out there that believe unless you're a part and a member of their fellowship, you cannot get to heaven. That's why I told you, the Pharisees are alive and well. They just wear different clothes today, drive cars, and live in houses. But they are absolutely alive and well. So, they see this guy and they say, "Who did this to you?" He said, "I don't know." That's what he said, because he didn't know at the time. But listen, the Bible also tells us that Jesus went to the temple to find the guy. And when he found the guy, he said, "Hey, I see you are well. Go and sin no more, lest something worse happen to you." Why would Jesus do that? I don't know why he did that, but I know the result of it. Because as soon as the guy found out it was Jesus, he went and told the Pharisees who had made him well. Context and setting. Everything that we're going to read for the rest of this chapter is a is a result or discourse of what just happened. You follow me? It's important that we understand the context and the setting. And everything that happens from this point on is a result or discourse of what, of Jesus healing this man who had been lame for 38 years. So it's important that we understand who he's talking to. It's talking to the Jewish leaders. But just because the Bible says he's talking to the Jewish leaders, don't mean there ain't principles in there for you and I to see as well. Hey. No, I won't say it. Hey, took that thought captive. Bring it into the obedience of Christ. Amen? All right, so that's the context and setting as we go forward. Let's pick it up in verse 16. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, now you know where the title comes from? Jesus defends his actions? All right. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. But he was speaking the truth, wasn't he not? Do you notice he doesn't go in and try to explain to these people why he wasn't breaking the Sabbath? Because it would have done him no good to try to explain anything to these people. But make no mistake, what they did here, because Jesus says, "My Father." Right? So what he was doing, and they caught on, he was making himself equal with God. Does anybody remember why John put these stories in this book? So that you may know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, Savior of the world, and in him you may have eternal life. Amen? That's why it's here. That's why John put this here. Let's pick up verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer. "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." You know what comes to mind? Like Father? Like Son. Amen? "For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he does." Here's what I want you to know. Jesus only did what his Father wanted him to do. Jesus only said what his Father wanted him to say. Jesus was so in tune with his Father, it would be hard for me to explain that to you. But he does not. What he's saying here is, I do not operate independently of my Father. But something else he's saying too. Me telling that person, that invalid, to pick up his mat and walk, I was not just giving that on my own authority, but by the authority of my Father who sent me. Man. Yes. He will show him even greater works than these that you will be amazed. That's true. What's he going to do next? Feed 5,000. He's going to heal the blind. Right? Make the lame walk again. He's going to raise the dead. But I think the greatest thing is he's going to go to the cross of Calvary, and on that cross he's going to die. And on the third day he's going to rise again and appear to 500 people. That's amazing. "Just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son gives life to whom he pleases. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father." Listen, whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Listen, you know what I picture when Jesus is here and he's talking to these Jewish, legalistic, pharisaical people? Them are the ones you just want to grab by the... You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to lay hands on them, yeah. Lay hands on them and they shall recover. Maybe. But you can almost see a man drawing a line in the sand, right? Hey, I am the Son of God. I am God the Son. And he says here, whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Here's why I always tell you. If you don't have Jesus right in your theology, then your whole belief is wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Jesus is the Redeemer of all mankind. Jesus did go to the cross. He did give his life. He did die for you and I. He did rise from the dead. And he did appear to 500 people. And today he sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and me. Oh, that's not it. My Jesus is coming back. Amen. Coming back to get me. I don't know about you, but I know he's coming back to get me. Man, you got to have Jesus right though, right? That's what he means, man. You do not, if you don't accept the Son, then you don't honor the Father either. You know, and I want to remind you guys of something, because it's not that Jesus chose not to act independently of his Father. It's that he cannot. He cannot act independently of his Father. You say, Pastor, can you prove that? I can't. Hold on. John chapter 14, if you'll remember, Philip comes to Jesus and he tells Jesus, he says, Jesus, just show us the Father and that'll be enough. This is what Jesus said. Anyone who has seen me. And then in John chapter 10, Jesus is talking about the sheep, and the sheep hear my voice. And he makes this emphatic statement. I and the Father are one. That's why they're so in sync. You understand? Yes, there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And yes, they're all different persons, but they're all one God. Amen? All right, let's read on. Verse 24 and 25. Verily, truly. What does that mean when he says verily, verily, or very truly? Listen to this one. This is very important. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Amen. Come on, man. Yes, crossover. I like the way it says it in the NIV. In the New King James, it says Passover. But I like crossover. Because when you think about it, he says, whoever hears my words, what's his words? His words is to believe in me and who I am and that God sent me, right? Believe in me and believe him who sent me. That's God. And that you would not be judged, but have crossed over. So when I read that, I picture this gap between God and I. And it says crossed over. So I look down, and how am I going to get across that gap? Then I look down, and there's a cross that I can walk across to get back into fellowship with God. Because I believe in Jesus, and because I believe in the one who sent him, I have crossed over from death to life. Were you dead one time? At one time, were you dead in your trespasses and sins? But you have been now made alive. Ooh, did you know what made alive makes you feel like? Huh? Makes you feel good. Peaceful. Joyful. Oh, some of y'all catch on later. Verse 25, very truly I tell you. Again, he says, very truly I tell you. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. You know what? Sometimes you read things in the Bible and you think, man, we're going to be soul sleeping. We're not be soul sleeping. There is no soul sleeping. You hear me? Were you dead in your trespasses and sins? But you know what? When Jesus came along, he started speaking his word to you, even if it was through someone else. You heard his voice, did you not? And he took you from what? Death to life. But I don't think that's what he's talking about here. I want to remind you of something. You remember the woman at the well? Jesus use this same phrase, a time is coming and has now come. Remember? And he said, a time is coming, and it has now come, when you will no longer worship God on this mountain or in Jerusalem, but you will worship God in spirit and in truth. So what was Jesus, what was he saying there when he said, a time is coming and has come? He meant, I'm coming, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And the person who is going to bring that Holy Spirit has come. So he was talking about him being there now, but what he was going to do in the very near future. Are you following me? So here he uses the exact same phrase, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear my voice and the Son of God and those who hear will live. So what do I think is going on here? Here's what's going on here. Jesus is fixing to make a trip, and the trip isn't very long, far down the road, because when he died on the cross of Calvary, where did he go, my friends? He went and preached to the captives. He went and led the captives free. Are you following me? Those who died in faith for waiting for redemption to be completed. Because here's what I want you to know, and you really need to know this, because a lot of times you'll read verses and you'll think, man, it almost sounds like, you know, the dead in Christ will rise first. Listen, those people did die. They died, but they're in Abraham's bosom. They were in Abraham's bosom. But Jesus went and set them free.
Amen.
And we're going to read some verses in here. It's going to make it sound like you and I actually soul sleep. When we die, we go to sleep for a while, and at some point, God wakes us back up. No! No! What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 5:8? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if that ain't enough for you, I want you to remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross next to him. What did he say? Today you will be in soul sleep. No? No, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. So here's what I want you to do. Whenever you run across a verse that it might go to your mind thinking, man, we're going to soul sleep, I want you to remember those verses. Because everything else has to come into context and agreement with those verses. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord, and today you will be with me in paradise. Amen. When I take my last breath, don't be sorry for me. Don't feel sorry for me, because I'm feeling sorry for you. Amen. Yeah. All right. Where did I leave all that? Verse 26, is that all, Father, I got? All right. And he has given him authority to judge, because why? He is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice. See what I mean? It's almost like you're dead and you're in your grave. That's not what he's talking about. And come out, those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. Again, I want you to listen to what he says in verse 30. Very important. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Now listen, this is freaking these Jewish leaders out, man. Make no mistake about it. They're shell-shocked right now, man, all that Jesus is laying on them. Right? I want you to think about something. Because in verse 25, I want to reread that for you real quick. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Amen? So what is he doing now? Here he is extending the concept of the resurrection to all humanity. Earlier, that's why I believe he was talking about those in Abraham's bosom, but now he contends it or extends it to all of humanity. Listen, both those who have done good will be resurrected, but those who have done bad will be resurrected also. And a lot of people, they'll take this verse and they'll say, well, Pastor, it must be because of works that we're saved. Golly, quit it. Quit it. You can't do nothing to earn your salvation. It is a gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Ephesians 2, 8, 9, right? For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what is he saying here then? I want to put these two words up here. The resurrection of life and the resurrection of condemnation. Because here's the point that Jesus wants these Pharisees to get. And make no mistake, there was probably some Sadducees around there with them too, right? These Jewish leaders. And by the way, Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection. All right, follow me. So these two words right here. What Jesus is saying here is it doesn't matter who you are, what you believe, you're going to be resurrected. Because by this statement, he is saying, when God knit you and I together in our mother's wombs, you were created to be an eternal being. Amen. That's what he's saying. And whether you've done good or whether you've done evil, you are going to be resurrected. And one to life and one to condemnation. But here's the whole key. Which side you're resurrected on is completely dependent upon what you did with Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Man, ain't God good. Woo! You better be praising him and you got it right. Because I want you to know, a lot of people don't got it right, but they are so convinced they got it right. But they ain't got it right. Because if your Jesus ain't right, nothing's right. Nothing's right. I got the right Jesus. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because I got the Holy Spirit. Right? You know, I was thinking the other day, in John 6:44, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. And I was thinking, man, God draws, Jesus redeems, and the Holy Spirit seals. Isn't that a beautiful picture, man? I'm sealed for the day of redemption. Sealed up tighter than you don't even know what tight is. Amen? Hope you are too. I hope you are too. All right, let's move on. I want to point something out to you, because Jesus said this many times in these verses that we read. He said, I do nothing of myself, right? He only did what he saw the Father doing. He only said what he heard the Father say. If we could, as Christians, could really hone in on that, and if we could figure out that what we don't do of ourselves, and if everything that we did, we would have the mindset that we are doing this for God, that we are laying aside our own desires, our own agendas, our own wants, you hear me? And we are taking up our cross daily and following him. Oh, that's a nice path to be on. It's a hard path to stay on, but it's a nice path to be on. And listen to me, that's the only path that's going to get you to peace. That's the only path that's going to get you to a real joy as well. Amen? I do nothing of myself. Ain't we supposed to be like him? Isn't that the goal, is to make us into the image of his son? If we could just get a hold of that, man, and walk in that spirit every day. We were talking about in Bible study, man, it doesn't matter what you have. It's all going to be gone. It's all going to be burned up. Other people are going to use it. All right. Let's go on. Here we're going to see something different. We're going to see a little bit of a context change, because what he's talking about now is going to be the fivefold ministry. Some people say four, some say five, some say six, you know, whatever. But let's read through it and I'll explain to you what I mean. Jesus starts out in verse 31. Remember, the setting is the same. The people he's talking to is the same people that he's talking to, all right? But now he's going to give them so much proof of who he is, but they cannot see it. They cannot see it. You know why? They don't want to see it. Verse 31, I testify about myself. My testimony is not true. What is he saying there? He's saying, I testify of myself, but you ain't going to believe that. That's what he's saying. There is another who testifies in my favor. I know that his testimony about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you might be saved. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean? What is he saying? Listen, What was John's testimony? I come baptizing with water, but the one who comes after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire. But what else did he say when he saw Jesus coming?
Behold,
the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. John was a lamp and burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy that light. I have a testimony weightier than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing testify that the Father has sent me. Let's stop right there. Witness number one, Jesus. Witness number two, John. Witness number three, the very works that Jesus is doing testify to who he is. You follow me? Let's go on. Verse 37. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. There's another one, right? You have never heard his voice nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you. Why? Because you do not believe the one he sent. Do you understand what he's saying there? If you don't believe in Jesus and that God sent him to accomplish what he accomplished, his word does not dwell in you. Amen? So I guess a good question would be, does his word dwell in you? You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are Pharisees, remember. They thought because they were the descendants of Abraham, the seeds of Abraham, that they were guaranteed a place in heaven. Well, that ain't true. And Jesus is making that very, very clear to these individuals right here. They are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me and have life. When I put myself in this position, these guys are red-faced, right? These guys are angry. These guys have been offended, right? And Jesus is in their face. Passive Jesus. There ain't no such thing. Passive Jesus. Don't bring your passive Jesus to me, man. My Jesus was God. Amen? He had authority. He had power. When he spoke, man, people listened. These are the very scriptures. Oh, okay. Verse 41. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. Come on, man. I know that sounds harsh, but listen. He can say the same thing to you and me. Do you know he knows you? No, I mean knows you. Yeah, he knows you. He knows me. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. That would break my heart. But you know what? Don't think for a second that if Jesus was standing up here or standing in every pulpit across America today, that he wouldn't say that to some people. Because listen to me. How you live your life and the evidence of how you live your life is a reflection of what you believe. Do you follow me? It is an absolute reflection of what you believe. Come on! I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in their own name, you will accept them. How can you believe since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father, because your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. You got your hopes on the wrong one. If you believed Moses, you would believe in me. Why?
Yep.
Because you would believe me. Why? Because he wrote about me. Now listen, I want you to picture this, because this is fun. as those leaders are sitting there, man, and they're Mosaic law people, right? And he's telling them, I'm the one Moses wrote about. Oh, these guys, man. It's a good thing they didn't have guns back in those days. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? Let's break that down a little bit. Here's what I want you to do. There was many times when Moses wrote about Jesus, but none like the time he mentioned him in Deuteronomy 18:15. Listen, Moses wrote this, speaking absolutely about Jesus Christ. The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites, and you must listen to him. That, when Jesus said Moses wrote about me, I believe that's the verse that he was talking about. Amen? So when we read through this and we put it in context and we put it in setting, what is it that God wants us to see? Jesus is declaring right here, he's telling these Pharisees, these Sadducees, these Jewish leaders, these Sanhedrin people, he said, I could testify about myself, but you would not receive that. That's what he's saying. He's saying, John testified about me, but I'm not even asking you to receive that. But the very works that I do testify that the Father sent me, right? They are a witness for me. But even more than that, in verse 37 it says, and the Father who sent me has himself testified about me. Are you following me? You remember when Jesus was baptized? And the Holy Spirit came down like a dove? And this voice came from heaven and said, this is my Son whom I love and am well pleased. But Jesus wasn't just talking about that. That's not what he was just talking about. He was talking about the hundreds of times in the Old Testament that these Pharisees, these scribes, these teachers of the law, they knew the Bible. And he was in there over and over and over and over. That's what it means when it said, you read the scriptures, but you cannot find me. But the truth is, he was all over in there. My Father sent me. I want to read a couple verses to you because I want you to see just sometimes how blinded people could be. Amen? It's important. The Bible tells us about the birth of the Messiah, does it not? Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him God with us. Wait a minute. A virgin? Yep. Did it happen?
Yep.
Do you think they knew that?
Yep.
Yeah, they knew that. You know, a virgin don't have a baby without the whole town knowing. I just want you to know. Am I right?
Yep.
I mean, Joseph sought to put her away quietly.
Yep.
Yeah. The birthplace of the Messiah. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Do you think they knew that this Jesus who was before them was born in Bethlehem? Sure they knew that. The ministry of Jesus, also from Isaiah 35:5 and 6, listen, because this was going to be what the Messiah did when he came. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. And that goes on and on. But I wanted you to see that. They had all these scriptures. They knew who Jesus was. They knew how the Messiah would be born, where he would be born, what he would do when he came. And here he is standing right in front of them. And for their own nose, they can't see past their face. Did I say that right? I want to share one more with you because, man, this should have really set them off. And that is the Messiah would be preceded by a forerunner. Come on, man, it's right here. Isaiah 35:5 and 6. Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for the Lord. We know who that was. That was John the Baptist. They knew that someone would come and prepare the Lord. Do you know what John the Baptist said when he got here? I have come to prepare the way for the Lord, to make straight the way in the highway. That's what he said. How can it just... So when you read these, here's what I want to show you, man. They had the testimony of the Messiah himself standing in front of them. Amen? They had the testimony of John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They had the testimony of the works that he did that absolutely line up with the prophecies about him. The testimony of Moses. He also has the testimony of the Scriptures, but the testimony of the Father himself. I don't know. I don't get it. But you know what? We're that way sometimes too. Huh? Are there things in your life you know the truth about, but you do them anyway? Huh? The truth is right in front of you. Matter of fact, if you're a Christian, I believe this. When you're in sin, the truth is following you. Yep. Hey, Mike. Right? What day is it, Mike? What day is it? Trump Day. Not Hump Day. Trump Day. So, doesn't he follow you around? Right? And you know what we do? We begin to quench, resist, right? I want you to see something. Was Jesus God?
Yes.
So God was speaking to these people, but they chose not to listen. We do the same exact thing. Amen. That's what God wants us to see here this morning. I want to close with this in verse 47. Since you do not believe what he wrote, speaking about Moses, speaking about the Scriptures, how are you going to believe what I say? Huh? Listen, if you don't believe this, there's nothing I can tell you. Right? So Jesus, he was calling these religious leaders to believe what? To believe the testimony of God. To believe the testimony of Jesus himself, to believe the testimony of Moses, to believe the testimony of the very works that he was doing, amen, and to believe the testimony of John the Baptist. That's what he was asking. But they just couldn't do it. Aren't you thankful? Huh? Because listen to me, you were that person one day. How many times did God come to you and try to lead you home, but you would not hear and you would not listen? Can you be hard-headed? They refused to believe, even with overwhelming testimony and truth. Amen? So if they can't believe all that, Jesus says, there ain't no sense me talking to you. Right? So in these verses, there's a couple things I want you to remember. Number one is, how many times he said, I do nothing of myself. Amen? The church is where it is today is because we do not understand what that means. We don't understand what that means. We get up and it's all about us. We go to work, it's all about us. We live our lives, it's all about us. You should not even be in the equation. You get up and you say, God, where do you want me to do? God, where do you want me to go? God, what do you want me to say? God, where do you want me to serve? God, what do you want me to give? God, God, God. That is a nice path to be on. But again, a very hard path to stay on. But if you don't get on it in the morning, it's going to be harder to get on it throughout the day. Just get on it in the morning. Lord, today belongs to you. Lord, I'm going to hear you today.
Amen.
And from this second part, man, it's hard for me to say anything about these Pharisees. Yes. But listen, if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He did go to the cross, and He did pay the penalty for your sins. He did die upon that cross. He was put in a tomb, and He did rise from the dead. Amen? And He did that all for you. And listen, there's plenty of evidence to prove that. But if you're not willing to even look at it, then you're not going to listen to me what I say. But I challenge you. I challenge you, if that's you, man, just ask God. Here's what you do. And I know it works because I did it. I did it. God, if You are real, manifest Yourself to me. And He did. I was in a place where the worst place, I was rock bottom. I said, God, if You're real, show Yourself to me. And you know what? He did. And He will. And He will. Won't He? An honest, sincere heart? Won't He? Now, had I known that He was going to take me on the path that He took me on? Remember, you guys seen that video of the kid on the that's the way it was for me, man. It was a road, but look at where God did. Amen? If you would, stand with me. I know this was more of a teaching than a preaching message, but we certainly learned something about the Pharisees, didn't we? Yeah, they weren't fair at all. They weren't Pharisee at all. So how is God speaking to you today? I don't know how He's speaking to you today. I do know that God doesn't want us to do anything of ourselves. And I know Jesus said that at least on 3 occasions in the first part of these verses. And you know what I try to learn? I'm trying to learn that. It's difficult because we got a battle going on in the flesh. There's a battle going on. Make no mistake about it. We want what we want. But generally what we want is different from what God wants. That's just the truth of it. Amen? I mean, how many in here could say, yes, yesterday all I did was what God wanted me to do? Nobody? Yeah, me either. But that should be our goal, right? But I can tell you I got up and started my day right, in prayer with God, seeking His guidance. I can tell you that. Amen? You know what? I don't even know how I can make it through the day without that. But man, if I could just walk through that day with nothing but Him on my mind and His will, man, that's going to be a day. That's a good day. We're going to get there one day. We're going to get there one day. Amen? Something else, man, I guess God wants us to see here. Is sometimes we're just like these Pharisees. The truth is right in front of us. Right in front of us. But we're not even hearing it. You know why? Because we don't want to hear it. Because whatever it is in our life, we've justified it. Just like these Pharisees have. Amen? Maybe you need to come forward this morning to pray for somebody. Pray for the people on the prayer board. You know, there's always a reason to come forward and bow before God. Whatever that is for you this morning, we're going to pray and then we're going to open up. Father, we just come before You this morning again, thanking You for this time, thanking You, Lord, for showing us our Lord and Savior, Lord, and the words that He spoke to these Pharisees and the lessons and the principles that we can learn from it, Lord. Just ask You, Lord, that You would speak to Your people. You speak to Your people's hearts. And Lord, just reveal to them what it is You would have them to do at this very moment. What You would have them to pray for. Who You would have them to pray for. To think there's never anything to pray for, Lord. I feel sorry for that individual. Because there is always something to pray for. Always. We commit this time to You, Lord. Just know we love You. We do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.